Next case for argument is 21-1123 In Re Robbins. And we'll give you time to settle in. Is it Mr. Klaiber?
I was going to ask. It's Klaiber, actually.
Mr.
Yes.
Klaiber.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, please proceed.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning, and may it please the court. I am Jim Klaiber for Mr. Richard A. Robbins and Therap Services, LLC, which is the owner of the 4.0 patent application. If the current pandemic has taught us anything, it's that people in nursing homes and similar facilities are greatly at risk. And one of the driving forces behind this patent application is to improve the video surveillance systems that are used in facilities like that.
Okay, let's go to the heart of it.
Yes?
You're not claiming to have invented a way of blurring video itself.
I could not agree more, Your Honor.
Okay, so you're just saying we're taking what's conventional and has been used in 100 other settings and want to use it in the healthcare setting.
I would say... there's no evidence that blurring of video in the way that is described in this patent application was conventional. So I would accept that out from what you said there.
Conventional, not conventional in a technological advancement set thing, or not conventional in terms of people weren't using it all the time?
I would say if we're going to get to the routine, conventional, and well-understood aspect of blurring, then I would say that it is not.
Because
there's simply no evidence that it is. In this record, I mean, the board...
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Blurring is not routine or conventional, or it's not routine or conventional in the healthcare setting?
Both, I would say. Because we have to look at 2012. We have to look at when this application was filed.
What's your evidence for blurring of faces to conceal identity is not routine and conventional? I mean, I think we've all anybody that's watched TV shows with secret informants has seen them blur faces on TV programs.
So the idea of blurring, right?
Right.
I mean, just this abstract, if you want to call blurring an abstract idea, which I don't necessarily think that it is.
Well, blurring in order to conceal the identity of the people that are on video. That's what Judge Hughes, I think.
Yes,
about.
Right. I mean, that concept in and of itself, right, is existed, right? We know that, okay? But here, there's no evidence that was ever done in a healthcare facility or with video data that was generated
Assume that the idea of blurring to conceal identity stated at that broad level is an abstract idea.
Yeah.
We have said in numerous times that confining an abstract idea to a specific setting still means it's an abstract idea and doesn't it get out of 101.
Yes,
why isn't the case here? The first question to you was, have you invented a new form of blurring? And I think you said no.
That's correct. What we've done, though, is to use blurring in combination with an access system in a way that has never been done before. And there's no evidence of any sort of comparison system. You know, we imagine that this blurring, however it's done, right, in pre-2012 blurring, right, involves some manual blurring. Who knows how that worked? There's nothing in the record about it. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is very difficult in this case, is that the board, the examiner, at every stage, introduced no evidence of how blurring was done in the past or...
So are you contending that you invented a new way of blurring?
No, what we're inventing here is a way of applying blurring with a pre-existing caseload system separately patented, which is an access rule system like in many cases that the court has found to be patent eligible, Ancora, TechSec, a number of the cases we cite in our brief that talk about how you combine a specific rule-based system with some other step, right, to create a patent eligible system.
Where's the rule-based system in this claim?
What's that?
Where's the rule-based system?
That is the caseload. Caseload is something that's specifically called out in the claim, and actually the caseload description is incorporated by reference from a prior application by Therap and by some of the same inventors. So what we have here is a 35 USC 100B new use of a previous system, caseloads access system.
Can you quickly describe exactly how the claim works?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I understand it. Is the claim system contemplating always blurring a particular part of the image and then storing that and then giving access to that partially redacted video content to someone that has the privilege to access that? Depending on the level of access a particular person is entitled to, they may see a version where there's no blurring going on, or they may see a version where there's partial blurring, or they may see yet another version where there's a lot more blurring.
Well, you've actually described quite a few there, but it's sort of on the latter half of that. The idea here is that the prior art was simply recording and storing. And the problem with this environment is...
You're starting to migrate away from my question.
Yes.
Let's go back.
I'm returning to your question.
Let me ask it again.
Go ahead, sure.
Okay, so there's a question of being able to access this content, video content. And then based on the authorization, they're going to get some version of the video content.
That is exactly correct, Your
Honor.
They're either going to see
a version that has no blurring, or they're going to see a version with some blurring. Is that how this claimed invention works?
You know, there's actually a version where they may not...
Oh, please, can you say yes or no?
Yes, Your Honor, yes, but there's another version where they don't see anything at all.
Denied complete access.
Yes, denied access, yes, correct.
Okay, so we've had a lot of cases where... These sorts of authorization to access certain things, we've called that an abstract idea.
In some cases, yes.
And then we've also have other cases where we've said the notion of redacting content from some larger content is also an abstract idea, without anything more. Have you heard of content extraction, for example?
That's the
case about the checks where a certain content got redacted and we said, that's an abstract idea, just the idea of redacting some content from some document.
That's correct. And so I think the thing is here, we talk about context a little bit, healthcare information industry and so on. What we're talking about though here is a combination in an unusual way of comparing, of taking that access system, right? Which is so critical with health information and applying it to this blurring and a very specific way because you're comparing information that's already in and stored in the system, right? And that's the determining step in the claim, right? Is you're determining, you're identifying, and the specification describes how to do that. You're identifying the person in the video by their physical characteristics, right? And then you are determining, based on those physical characteristics, who's in the video, and then you're comparing it to the access level. And again, as you say, depending on how many people are there and what they're doing, and what they're doing is often, you know, that's also covered by the claim, that we have this idea of a program as being part of the caseload, what a caseload is. This is something that there access can be tailored to the particular members of the audience, and that is exactly what was going on in TechSec.
So I see here that the board says the ineligible concept here is redacting confidential information based on privilege rules.
Right. Yes, that's what they said.
What's wrong with that?
That's an oversimplification of the claim, right? Because this is very specifically limited to video, right? And, you know, comparing images, right? And you know, this is image data here that is being, you know, if you're simply just redacting something based on, you know, whatever, you know, information that you may have. But this is a very specific where you're going in, looking at the video, identifying who is in there, and then comparing it to a set of rules, this caseload rules-based access. So we have, you know, in my view, this is a combination.
How is that different than from what the board said? Because, I mean, that sounded a lot like relying on a set of privilege rules and then redacting some portion of the image based on those privilege rules. Redacting the display of certain information based on the
because it leaves out the identity of the individual in there, right? You know, the problem is that privilege rules have to be tied to the identity of the people in the app. That's a very specific thing that's in this claim, is that we're talking about some individuals that you do have access to, other individuals that you don't, and that you're identifying those individuals as part of the claim.
So the permissions and the redactions or non-redactions based on them are more specific.
Yes, it's a specific. This is one of the things that's in your law.
It's not just redacting information. It's just a more specific application.
It is a very specific application, and that's the kind of specific improvement in video processing technology.
How does it improve processing? It's just using the computer to give you more complex authorizations, but it's still just an authorization process. It's just further refined.
Well, the board said this is a purported improvement in video processing technology. That's what they said. And I'm taking them at their word. I mean, if you want to disagree, okay, that's the one thing that the board thing got it right.
It is a purported improvement, but it's not. It's an improvement only in terms of the rules can be more complex and deal with video as opposed to just text-based information. But it doesn't change the way the computer works, the processor works, the camera works, or any of that, does it?
Well, it doesn't have to. It's exactly like Diamond v. Deere, where the added step was temperature measurement, right? And if you look at the claim in footnote 5 of Diamond v. Deere, there's the claim, and it says measuring temperature. And that's all it says. So blurring, right, this step of blurring, we don't have to disclose precisely how blurring is done. We don't have to improve the way that blurring is done. We have to attach that blurring to that new blurring step to something else to make a new and unconventional process, which is what we've done.
I guess you have to parse your last sentence in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
We add something. There were contradictory phrases in your sentence.
No, I'm sorry.
Are you doing something new and different, or are you characterizing it as being new and different because you're doing something old and conventional in a new system in healthcare where it's never been done in healthcare? It's been done in other industries numerous times in different ways, but we're applying it here in a specific way to the healthcare industry.
Well,
so are you claiming that the specific thing you're doing is inventive? Are you claiming that doing it for the first time in the healthcare industry is what's inventive about this? I'm just not clear.
I think both of those things are true, Your Honor. I think that because there is nothing in the record here, because the examiner and the board at every stage and right up into the director's brief failed to provide any evidence of how other blurring systems worked, right? They merely said it was conventional. They merely said that this step, as added in here, didn't add anything, right? They didn't look in the healthcare industry for any evidence of this, right? And meanwhile, we supplied evidence, you know, a declaration. The specification itself talks about how this is an issue, an unsolved problem in the healthcare industry.
Well, the specification talks about video blurring, and it talks about it as if it's a known technique, right?
No.
It says information in audio or video files can also be shown after removing or blurring individuals beyond recognition to staff who do not have caseload access on them.
Yes, that's describing exactly how this system works. That's not saying that it's something that already exists. It's actually saying that this is something new. This is part of the invention.
That you invented What is it? Blurring? I thought we already established
This idea of differential blurring based on access rules is something that just simply did not exist. And it is a very specific solution to a very specific problem that really only arises in this kind of 24-hour video surveillance system where you have multiple people, right, who have access to, you know, a very large volume of data. And this is why it's very similar to the Texas case, where the idea was that you were adding, in that case, there was encryption, there was labeling. You know, TechSec didn't claim to have invented encryption or labeling. What they were claiming to invent was adding those things to a security system by which only certain people would have access.
But in using rules to limit who can access information and obscuring information the user isn't authorized to see, is that really a problem specifically arising in the realm of computer networks or computers?
Yes, it is. In video surveillance systems, it totally is. Because the issue is, as I said, that there's no evidence in the record that of anything in the prior art other than taking video and storing video. And then the issue was,
But we also accept that blurring video was also a known thing to do. I mean, that's where we began this oral argument.
That's correct. And the idea is that I have to admit that the concept of blurring was out there, you know, before this application was filed. That's true. How do those blurring systems work? What was done with those? Were they done manually? Was there anything like this?
There's nothing in this claim that distinguishes the step of blurring here, the act of blurring, the whatever the technical requirements are to blur a portion of the video from what was already known and established in the art of blurring, right? You're not claiming, and this is a specific way that we want to do the blurring here for the purposes of this claim.
Right. We've said many times in the briefs that we're not claiming a new way of blurring.
Right.
No, we're not writing code to blur.
Or a specific way.
No specific, well, actually, because blurring is a subset of redaction, I mean, actually, the claims here were amended. At one point, the claims did say redaction, and then that was changed. It was changed to blurring because the specification actually disclosed several ways of redacting. So blurring is actually a specific solution to this particular problem, right? I mean, you can imagine, right, and in fact, it's disclosed in the specification that rather than blurring, you could entirely remove a section of the image and just show a black box.
You could put a smiley face over.
You could put smiley faces. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it, but this is a specific.
What if I wrote a claim to, you know, generating a document, and I said in the claim, generating a document using Microsoft Word. The fact that I recite in the claim using Microsoft Word, it narrows the claim, but I don't think that all of a sudden transforms an otherwise ineligible claim into a patent-eligible claim merely by the fact that I've limited the scope of the claim to the use of Microsoft Word, have I?
I would say, again, that if we look at Deere, right? If we look at Deere and how Deere was decided, right?
Are you suggesting that the recitation of use of Microsoft Word could be.
I'm saying that the context, if the industry that we're talking about, which you didn't, you know, this has to be looked at through the lens of the industry. That's the thing, and then that was certainly not done here by the board. There's almost no references in the board's decision or in the director's brief to the electronic. To the health information technology issue. Health information technology is actually something defined by Congress as being an area of technology in the High-Tech Act. I mean, it's very unusual that we have a case where we're arguing whether something is an area of technology that may be improved, where here we actually have a congressional, you know, definition that this is an area of technology that can be improved.
We're way beyond our time.
Yes,
so
I'm
let
sorry.
Me hear from the other side.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Daniel Kasdan on behalf of the USPTO.
I'm sorry, just please restore your mask. Thank you.
The invention here, and this is is to take a technology that exists and apply it to the high-tech space. But this is, I think, ultimately, and this was, I think, what Judge Hughes said in the beginning, cases like Intellectual Ventures and OIP have all said, you don't make an idea not abstract by just limiting it to one field. So I kind of think that disposes of the case. Basically, we have a technology of blurring, which they're not describing, and they're not explaining how the technology of blurring is working. They're just applying blurring based on a set of rules. They're sort of applying a set of rules that is a standard abstract idea, as this case court found in Able and other cases like that. And so then, I guess that's really all I have to say. I'm happy to take questions. If not, you guys.
What about his references to Deere and also his arguments that this is based on this caseload thing and this is just different enough that withstands scrutiny under cases like Deere and Deere's analysis and the other case he referred to, which was, I guess, Texas.
So I think in TechSec what you have is the use of the label and the technology is actually affecting the technology that you're using. That's what's missing here is there's the abstract idea of blur, like you don't get to see people you shouldn't see and you do get to see people you should see, sort of like Pacer has that if I'm not logged in, I can't see the sealed version, I could see the unsealed version. And then the technology, but there's not the fact that you want to use it in high tech is still just a set of rules that you're going to be using. And I think that's fundamentally why this case is different than TechSec and the other cases of that is that there's no connection to the technology. It's just the technology on one side and the abstract and the set of rules and just saying, put them together, apply it.
So but your friend keeps referring to these caseloads that are in the claim and that makes this different and non-abstract.
I mean, but the caseloads are, if you have permission to see it, you see it. And if you don't have permission to see it, you don't see it. That's just an idea of how you do it. It's like a rule of a game. There are like, or it's like an intermediated settlement in the Supreme Court cases. These are all just.
It's not a specific way of telling you how to give authorizations. It's the idea of some people get authorizations based upon certain access. Some people get more. Some people get less. Some people get zero.
Yeah, I wish I had said it as clearly as that. Yes, that's exactly right. And so that's, I think, fundamentally why there's not a technological invention here. It's just apply technology in the space. And that, you know, and then he keeps talking about how we haven't introduced evidence, but I feel like that happened in Alice. The Supreme Court has no problem saying, we know that computers exist, we know that if it was that in dispute whether blurring existed, then it would sort of be important for the examiner to show. But they've never argued that they've candidly admitted that blurring was out there before, and if it wasn't, then the spec doesn't teach you how to do it. So that's, I mean, I guess that's where I feel like it's just a specific application of a technology, but the real invention here is the abstract idea of applying it in the high tech space. I mean, in the healthcare space.
But there could be a circumstance where they're applying it in a detailed, very specific, and novel way, and wouldn't that take that out of the realm of the abstract?
I mean, I think it would be, sort of to use Judge Chen's example, if I say, do this by turning on your computer, using Microsoft Word, typing these seven letters or whatever, right? Like the fact that you're giving very specific instructions about how to do it, just like the sort of the railway tickets of like 100 years ago when ineligibility cases, it's not the details that really are where you're going to get eligibility. The question is under step one of Alice, what ultimately is the claim directed to? And here the claim is directed to deciding who gets to see information. And that could have been done by people in their head. That's just an idea out there. And then just using the blurring technology, the off-the-shelf blurring technology to implement that. And so that's how I see the difference between this and cases like TechSec and Deere and makes it more akin to the cases like Ericsson or last week's case of the USR, the universal storage, and these other cases about who gets access to information, and there are many. in the Mattel article, he catalogs a lot of them in one place. That's where I see the case landing.
Now you can sit down.
I'm sorry for jumping the gun before.
Okay, we'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal if you need it, Mr. Kleiber.
Thank you. I will be as brief as possible. I think one of the things my colleague said is that he doesn't think that this affects the technology that it's used in. I think my client would certainly disagree with that. I mean, this is a very specific use of a very specific technology to make a specific improvement in an area that was absolutely necessary.
And an improvement in the technology.
Yes, in health information technology. You know, one thing that I would direct the court's attention to is Appendix 1281, which is, you know, an actual screenshot from the prior patent that shows a caseload field and all of the information that goes into it. The description of caseloads, and without oversimplifying caseloads, there's a great deal of flexibility in how a caseload is set up, and it's described in some detail in the prior patent that's incorporated by reference. So to say it's merely just who gets to see what and who gets to, you know, things like that. I mean, you know, at a very high and oversimplified level, that's true. But, you know, the caseload here, which is, we called out this as a term, caseloads, and didn't just use the word access rules, right? We could have put something like that, or just privilege rules, or something like that, in the claim. We're not claiming just privilege rules. We're claiming a very specific caseload application here. And caseloads is something, again, that we incorporated from this prior patent into this application.
So what am I supposed to think about when you say the word caseloads?
A caseload in this particular area, in health information technology, a caseload, it can be based on the identity of the individual or the aspect of, like, whether that individual is enrolled in a particular program within the healthcare facility. That's one of the things here is that this is directed to people with severe cognitive disabilities. There's an example in the specification of this application talking about how there's an individual who's learning to brush his teeth, and meanwhile there's a fight going on in the background. This is a very specific problem that is in this area that is being handled by this application. And it is there simply was nothing like this, manual or automated, you know, in this industry before that. And the application of the caseloads type of access rules, the specific kind of access rules with blurring technology, is what's being claimed here. And that's why I think the board should be reversed. And it's particularly in view that there's no substantial evidence of any blurring technology, anything like this, in this industry.
Thank you. We thank both sides in the case system.